It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, we promoted earlier this week where we're planning to talk about things related to emergency evacuation planning on this weekend show, but we did have a change of schedule, and we're going to be talking about that at a later time. And today we're going to be hearing an update from the Public Health Department on COVID-19 related matters. We're pleased to be joined by a couple of guests, Tuolumne County Public Health Director Michelle Jaketa and Interim Public Health Officer Dr. Eric Sergenko. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, BJ.
I'll start first with Dr. Sergenko, and as we sit and talk here in early October now, you know, how are things looking locally when it comes to the COVID-19 surge and the Delta variant?
So, I mean, we are slowly trending down. I think that's probably the most optimistic thing I can say, is that we're still fairly active. When we look at the, you know, we retired the blueprint for a safer economy and the tiers that were associated with that. And so we refer to the CDC data tracker at this point. And like the blueprint for a safer economy, it has four tiers, and the highest tier is above a case rate of 100 per 100,000 per 7 days. And we are coming close to actually getting below 100. Case rate, but we're still well above that, still well in the high rate or in the high tier. And so we're getting better, but it's still going to be a slow decline back to where we are at a moderate rate as we were prior to the 15th of July, which is when we really saw the Delta wave taking off. That said, we are seeing a decrease in our hospitalizations. You know, talking with our healthcare partners, they are seeing fewer hospitalizations for COVID. So that's a good sign. As we look at data for not just Tuolumne County, but for the region and the hospitals that we send our sickest patients to, they are starting to see a decline in the number of COVID patients that they are having admitted. You know, we were really at a breaking point, and thankfully we backed off from that. I was concerned that in the region we would have to have an implementation of what are called crisis standards of care. Physicians at the bedside are making decisions about who gets what level of care, or if some people will not receive care at all. That's the level of things that are happening in, say, Idaho or Alaska, where they're making a decision about who goes on dialysis, who doesn't go on dialysis, who gets a ventilator, who doesn't get a ventilator. We came close to having to do that in the region. Fresno County, as an example, said that they were going to, but we're able to get some additional resources, and we've avoided that here. And now, you know, we've made it over that difficult period, and now we're seeing a decrease in hospitalizations. In looking at modeling that's being done by CDC and the California Department of Public Health, CDPH, they are predicting that decline in hospitalizations will continue over the next 4 weeks. That's how far their modeling goes out. If we look at some modeling from some academics like the University of Washington, they are actually anticipating this decline could continue all the way through the holidays and into the new year. They ran four scenarios for both at the state level and for the United States as a whole. And depending upon whether we see a new variant, whether we have increased vaccine uptake, especially in kids, you know, so the best scenario is we don't get a new variant, we get a vaccine approved for kids. That shows the longest decline. And then the worst case scenario is we get a new variant and no additional vaccines. That's where we would start seeing an uptick in cases starting around the holidays. So lots of variables in play, but at the present moment, slowly going down, slowly seeing our healthcare resources being restored to their pre-Delta wave status. So that's the good news. And then other things that we've been talking about, getting boosters out to people, that was something that's happening over the last couple of weeks, is the federal government, first at the Food and Drug Administration and the CDC, approved boosters for those people who received Pfizer vaccine. I think that's something we've got to make very clear, is that the boosters were approved only for those who received Pfizer, and only if they received it more than 6 months ago, and specifically for those who are 65 and older, those who are between the ages of 50 and 64 and have underlying medical conditions. And then there's two groups where the CDC recommended having a conversation with your healthcare provider, and that's people with underlying medical conditions between the ages of 18 and 49, and those who work in a setting or live in a setting that puts them at a higher risk of acquiring COVID. So think about places like healthcare workers or healthcare settings or congregate living like homeless shelters. So that's boosters. And then I'm trying to think about other things that are...
Quick question on the boosters. So 6 months from that, the initial shot, is that the second shot then, not the first one?
Right. So as an example, I received my... second dose of Pfizer in January. So if I had, and I'm between the ages of 50 and 64, if I had a underlying medical condition, I would go ahead and get a booster. Now, I have high cholesterol. It's the only underlying medical condition I have. And so I would not necessarily qualify for a booster based on that. But then I might have a discussion with my healthcare provider, because I do work in a healthcare setting. I do take care of patients that are COVID positive. So that might be a consideration for me getting a booster. So lots of different variables. So thinking about those four different categories and which one you fall into. And if you don't fall into any of them, if you've already received a Moderna or a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, those respective vaccine manufacturers, when they've accumulated enough data about their boosters, they'll come back to the FDA and seek approval for that.
And then the booster, it's the same vaccine that was given previously? It's not a revised vaccine?
Correct. Yeah, the booster that is that was approved for Pfizer is the exact formulation that was in the initial shots that were given, and we are continuing to give. Potentially down the road, there may be one that is modified or aimed specifically at a variant. But really, there's not been enough change between the original virus and the Delta variant to warrant doing a modification in the vaccine.
And for anyone locally who fits into those categories and interested in the booster, what's the best way to go about getting it?
So continue to sign up on MyTurn. That's the website that is the scheduling website that's run by the state of California. And just by Googling MyTurn, that'll take you there.
And then anything new when it comes to getting kids a shot? I've heard some rumblings about it could soon be available for those under 12.
Yeah, so there was data submitted by Pfizer for the 5 to 11-year-old group. So that's for the Pfizer only. Both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson have yet to submit data to the FDA for kids younger than adults younger than, or anyone younger than 18. So Pfizer's well ahead of the other two vaccines in terms of getting approval for the 5 to 11-year-old group. And so knowing how long it took for the booster recommendation to come through, it may be we get to Thanksgiving or even Christmas before we're seeing shots available for the 5 to 11-year-old group. That said, I understand that the governor is talking right now, it being 10 o'clock on a Friday, and he may be mandating vaccines once they're fully approved, not in an EUA, but fully approved for school students 12 and older. So we're waiting for more details on that. And so looking forward to seeing what the governor is proposing in terms of creating a safer space in schools, because we do know that we've had clusters of cases in the schools, both involving students and staff, and vaccines would help mitigate that.
Michelle Jaquetta, I don't want to leave you out of the conversation. Anything in regards to these topics that you'd like to add as well?
Thanks, BJ. No, I think I would just, on the heels of the statement by Dr. Sojanka about our slow decline in cases, I just want to thank our public for, you know, coming out and getting vaccinated, and encourage everyone to, if they haven't received their initial series, to, I know we still want to highlight the importance of getting your initial vaccine if you haven't done that yet, and to continue wearing your mask in public and get tested, and to please stay home if you're feeling sick, and that will help us continue on that path to declining cases and where we would like to get. I think that's all I would like to add on those topics.
Well, we'll pick up on this conversation in just a minute. We're talking with Dr. Eric Sojanka and Michelle Jaquetta with the Tuolumne County Public Health Department. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.